ask for your prayers that the Lord would bless his word this afternoon, that he'd give free course to deliver what he would have for us. I'd like to consider a word right on the board. Norms. Start with the definition of the word. Norm is something that you'll hear maybe in the context of a society or a culture, civilization. It's an authoritative standard or a principle of right action binding upon members of a group and serving to guide, control, or regulate proper and acceptable behavior. Like for us to begin with that in mind, like for us to begin in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the 43rd chapter, beginning in verse 10. Ezekiel 43 and 10. Thou son of man, shew the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, shew them the form of the house and the fashion thereof, and the goings out thereof and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinance thereof, and do them. This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof, round about, shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. Whenever we look at God's plan for his people, consider them whenever they were in the land of Egypt, and the Lord heard their cry and their groaning because of the oppression and the bondage, the servitude that they were under, and he had a plan for them. As he had promised years and years before to Abraham, I've got a land that I'm going to bring them to, and they'll be my people and I'll be their God. And so after a space of over 400 years of captivity, of bondage in Egypt, the Lord brought them up. But the Lord had to do some teaching. They had been in a foreign land, a land that wasn't the promised land. They had been, though they were in their own community, they had been in a land whose customs and whose ways were so different than God's ways. And the Lord brought them up by a mighty hand, as we know the story, and led them out through the wilderness to the promised land. But along the way, he had a stop for them to make. He wanted them to stop and called Moses up into the mountain. Moses, I want to talk to you. I've got a law that I want to impart unto you. And he wrote it, as we're very familiar, wrote it on the tables of stone and imparted that unto the children of Israel. When we look also at what the Lord shared with Moses, it was from a desire that I can have a place, that I can come down, and that I can meet and show my glory, and that I can be in the midst of my people. And so he gave him the pattern of the tabernacle and said, this is the way that I want you to build it. He didn't leave a whole lot to Moses' discretion to choose or use creative license in the way that he went about it. Moses, this is my house. And this is the way that I want you to build it. This is the dimensions of it. It's the colors. It's the material. It's all the details that you need. I'm going to give you. Well, we understand today that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That we are, as we fast forward to the dispensation that we're in, we are the temple of God. You know, it gives me comfort and encouragement to know that I'm not going to stand before God one day having had no instruction or understanding of what the Lord requires, and the Lord say, that's not the way I said to build it. That's not acceptable unto me. But I'm thankful that the Lord had laws, that the Lord had instructions to give to Moses. This is the way that I want you to do it. And when Moses did that, the glory of the Lord came and filled that place. So it will with every one of us. And so we fast forwarding generations now into the future here. At a time whenever Israel had strayed from the Lord, he said, I want you to call them back to the pattern. I want you to remind them. I want you to show them the glory of the plan that I have for them. Whenever they look around and they wonder, how is it that things are the way that they are? There's an answer. Go back to the pattern. Go back to what I laid out originally as the plan for the house. And so he said, remind them of the ordinances and all of the instruction and the fashions and the form of it and the dimensions and all of that. Show the house under the house. Whenever you're building a house, you generally will have plans that you're referring to that lay out, this is what the house is to look like. This is what has to go into it in order to achieve what's on the first page, the drawing of what the overall house is. I'm thankful that the Lord's the one with the drawing. That the Lord is the one that says, here's the house that I want to build. Each of us individually and collectively as his body on the earth, this is what I'm looking for, that I want to dwell in. So the word norms. Whenever we think about a culture or a society, you know there are expectations, whether written or unwritten, there are expectations of the way that you behave yourself, of the way that you conduct yourself in conversation or different manners at our house. We have norms. It's our family rules. This is the way that you conduct yourself. These are the things that you just get to know when you live in our house. This is the way that it's expected that you're going to conduct yourself. Whenever I've traveled to other countries, I've found it a challenge to understand the norms of that culture. Because you can offend somebody and have no idea. You can go up to someone and wave at them like this and think you're being friendly. And to them, they're saying, he's telling me to leave. He's trying to run me off. There's a difference in expectations of behavior. This is the way what's expected of you that you get to know over time. You know, there are norms, like for us to think about house norms. There are norms for the house of God. Expectations of what the Lord requires of us. And I'm thankful again that it's his plan and his pattern. Like for us to look at 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. First Timothy 3 and verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, that you might know how you are to behave yourself. You know, this is about more than a clique or a group. Because my parents were part of something and my grandparents were part of something, there's just an expectation of this is how you live your life. If the church is no more than that, as we mentioned this morning, it's on shaky ground. It's a shaky foundation. The Lord has something firmer for us than that. The expectations are not yours and mine, but Lord, help me to know, what is the norm of this house? Lord, what is expected of me of how I behave myself in your house? In India, there was a story of a girl who had been abandoned from the time she was very young. She was found later when she was close to a teenager. But she had been abandoned by her parents and left to die. And the story was that the monkeys had adopted her. That the monkeys in the forest that she had been left in, that the monkeys had come up to her and they had provided food, and she became, to make a long story short, became one of them. And that was her mode of operation. That was what she grew up under throughout her young years of life. Well, whenever they found this young girl, again, almost a teenager, they came across her and realized that we've got to intervene here. We've got to step in and try to spare this girl. And she didn't want to have anything of it. She was frightened, was terrified at the sight of people. Well, they captured her. They took her and took her into a hospital to try to assess her health. And they said that she would jump out of the bed and she'd go running around on all fours. That they'd have to put her food on the floor because she had been with the monkeys for years of her life, her formative years. And to her, that was normal. That's the way that you conduct yourself. It's what I'm accustomed to. It's what I'm used to. But you know, that's not normal to us. You know, the world has its norms. Whenever the children of Israel, David and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whenever they were taken into captivity, we have a little bit of a picture of that. Whenever they were taken in, they said, well, for one, we're going to have to change your names. Those names don't fit here. Those don't fit in this. So we're going to give you some Babylonish names here. We're going to give you some names that are more fitting for the society in which you're living now. And oh, by the way, the way that you're eating, that's not going to cut it. That's not going to work. You're in a different place now with different norms and different expectations of the way you behave yourself. You know, the world is going to press on every one of us. The world is going to press on us. This is the way you behave yourself. If you want to prosper, if you want to do well, if you want to be accepted, here's the norms. Here's what it is that's expected of you of the way that you behave yourself. The scripture says that those in the world will speak evil of you. They'll have evil to say if you don't run to the same excess of riot. That's the norm of the house. That's the norm of the way you conduct yourself. If you're in this world, if you're part of this society, this is the way you're going to conduct yourself or you're not going to be able to prosper. I remember in high school, I'd taken a stand. It was one that my parents had passed down to me and that they had enforced at the time as well. That if there were movies being shown and things like that, that that's not something that we want to feed on. And so I had that conversation with my teacher, and I remember her pulling me aside one time and said, Clint, I want to talk to you. You know, you're about to be going out into the real world, and you know, you're going to have to realize that you're not going to be able to shelter and isolate. And it was really like the teacher, and it was from a good heart and a good desire to help. But you know, there's an expectation of the world. If you're going to be one of us, we're going to tell you how you need to dress. We're going to tell you the way you need to talk. We're going to tell you the things that you need to really enjoy talking about when you're, the things that you need to find passion in. We're going to be the ones to tell you. But I want us to realize and be encouraged today that we are citizens of a heavenly country. We don't belong in this world. We're just passing through. The scripture says in Romans 12 and verse 2, be not conformed unto this world. The world is going to press on every side. This feeling of that I can succumb to if I'm not careful. I'm not going to be accepted. I'm not going to fit in. I'm not going to be able to get ahead on the job, etc., etc., etc. If I don't conform in this way, I'll just share one from my job. That it is expected that you participate frequently in the happy hours. In going and socializing at the bar over alcohol. That's how you network. That's how you get to know people and shake hands and make acquaintances and all of that. And if you're going to get ahead, you're going to go do it. It's just without question. And well, if for some reason you can't drink, go get a soda and you can stand at the bar with your soda with us. You know, there are pressures that'll be unique to every one of us. There will be pressures that press on every hand. And we talked about a little bit this morning, Reuben. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. If you want to excel in this world, and oh, I pray today that our sights are higher than that. I pray that our sights are higher than just the acceptance of the world. For the world to say, well done, and you're one of us, you're part of us. Oh, there's something so much higher than that. Lord, I want to hear you say, well done. I want to hear you say, I'm pleased with you, my child, my servant. And you know, we don't have to wait till the day we draw our final breath. The weekend, the soul, number 114, the light of God says, thy smile is my constant light. The Hebrew children found, even in that foreign land, where everything was so strange and so different and so unusual. You read in Psalms of a similar setting, it says they hanged their harps upon the willows, and those that took them captives required of them a song, saying, give us mirth and sing us one of the songs of Zion. They said, how can we do that? We're in a foreign land and everything's so strange and unusual. I know a little bit the feeling of that. You go especially into an Eastern culture where the smells are different, the foods are different, the dress, just everything is so different. And if you're immersed in that for a couple weeks, you feel out of place. I don't even recognize hardly anything around me. We're passing through a foreign land. We're going to feel the pressures around us to conform. If we don't have strength like the Hebrew children, we'll be like Reuben, unstable as water. Whatever form that the world presses us into is the form, the shape that we become. Whatever the world says, and we'll bring it into where we are today, of what a church is supposed to be today. Of what, you ever have somebody ask, where do you go to service? Oh, well, how many people are there? Well, that's a church. That's not what a church is. That's not called success. In our eyes, that's not something that's acceptable and grand, but folks, again, there's something so much greater to live for the approval of our God. For Him to say, well done. My blessing is upon you. The children, Hebrew children found that. Again, back to them in the land of captivity of Babylon. They found that whenever they said, no, I'm under a different law. I'm in this nation. I'm not going to cause an insurrection and uprising and all of that. I'm here and all, but I'm under a different law. I'm subject to a different lawgiver. Just give us a little while. Just give us a little space of time. We know the end of the story. They were fatter and fairer than any of the others because of the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord will surely make all the difference. But just like the girl who was accustomed to the way of life of the monkeys, folks, we're not in the same kingdom as those that are of the kingdom of darkness. And our ways are going to seem so strange. They're going to seem so unusual. But who defines normal? Who defines what normal is for you? Because norms, when we think about in the context of a nation, norms are important. Expectations of what's right and wrong are important. They act as guardrails for a society. Scriptures talk about law is not for the, it's for the lawless, the disobedient. You need some restraint. You need some kind of governance. The founders of our nation even said, this document will work only for a God-fearing people. Only for a Christian people who have some restraints within themselves is going to be the way that it works. And so a nation, whenever their norms are founded upon the Word of God, it's a good, safe guardrail for a nation. And so it has been for our nation for many years. But you know, the norms of a nation can change. The norms of a culture and a society can change. And we're seeing the evidence of it all around us. Of what's truly considered right and wrong. Of where you can really draw a line of what's absolute and what's not. You know, there was a time when the norm of society was that you don't divorce. The expectation of society, if something goes sideways in your marriage, just keep it quiet. That's a matter of shame. That's a matter not to just be accepted and it's just in the normal course of things. But it was something, there was a restraint upon a society that kept some bounds upon the direction that our nation was going. But whenever norms begin, we could spend time on how that happens. Whenever norms begin to be changed, and it can happen gradually over time. You know that we can look at our nation and say, what a shame. How have we come so far? How have we gotten into these kind of places? But you know, in speaking just generically of the church world, you look at churches who have accepted years and years ago, you're the servants of sin one way or another. We're all bound to sin one way or another. And you know, I've got this thing in my life and I can't very well tell you, you can't do that because I'm living a sinful life and you are too. And so this idea of tolerance begins to come into play. Let's just be tolerant and understanding, and it began to be accepted within the church where that, read even secular writers and activists and people who study this kind of things, that many times it's the places of faith, the churches that keep the initial guidelines or restraints on a people. Now they look on that as a bad thing. We want to break those restraints and we want to be progressive and want people to begin accepting new ideas and things. But whenever those things begin to be broken down, whenever the guardrails begin to fall, there's no restraint. The ideas of that were accepted for so long of what a boy is and what a girl is, of what marriage is and what's acceptable along those lines, that now the norms are changing. Lord, help us that our norm would not be tied to that of the world, because that's subject to change like the wind. It's subject to change and a blow one way or another. But as we read here in Ezekiel, show the house to the house. Remind them the Lord has given some guidelines for us. And he said that the law of that house is holiness unto the Lord. You know, that is the norm. Holiness unto the Lord is the norm. It is the law of the house. It's not my law. It's not your law. But the expectation whenever I want to be part of the church of God, I'm so thankful that it's about more than coming and shaking the pastor's hand, signing your name on a book. If you meet this list of criteria, if you agree to dress this certain way, then you're part of the church. I'm so thankful that it's more than that. I'm thankful that there's one door to be able to get into the church of God and one avenue by which to become a member, and that's salvation, holiness. Oh, there's a banner upon Mount Zion of holiness unto the Lord. That's the norm of the house. Lord, teach us how to behave ourselves. Lord, teach us how to order our lives. Lord, teach us as a people how to conduct our lives in a way that is an example of the believers, in a way that brings glory to your name. Thinking of the scripture that says, whatsoever therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever therefore that you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, that's the norm of the house. That's the expectation of the way that we're to behave ourselves in the house of our God. Whenever we look at some of the debate that's raging in society, and I'll leave that for them to debate, about immigration and about other nationalities or cultures being assimilated or coming into a nation. You know, there was a time in our nation where the expectation was whenever you migrate into the nation, you're coming because you want to be a part of America. And while you bring unique traits and backgrounds and all, you recognize, I want to be a citizen of a new country here. I want to be a part. I want to assimilate into the society that I'm now a part of. Well, there are many today who are saying, I don't want to do that. I want to be able to be here, and I want to retain my national identity, and I want to still look like the nation that I came from, but I want the benefits that come with the nation. I want us to consider for a moment about that, not only in terms of a nation, but in terms of Mount Zion. You know, the Lord requires of us, if you want to be part of this nation, this kingdom, you've got to forsake your citizenship of the other. Yes, yes. You're going to have to check it at the door. You're going to have to leave the baggage outside. You're going to have to leave the things that you would want to carry along as a mixed multitude that went up out of Egypt. A mixed multitude with them. The Lord is not pleased, nor is it acceptable. If I should say, well, I want to be a citizen of the heavenly country, but I also want to retain my identity over here. I also want to retain my identity as an accepted citizen of this world. To be able to be thought well of and to be able to be accepted and a part of society here below. Lord, help us that we would be willing and recognize that there is no dual citizenship when it comes to the kingdom of heaven. Do we want to be a part of such a glorious, beautiful kingdom? The expectations are so much different. The norms of what's acceptable. I was reading some time back about, it was an actor, he was talking about his early career in acting back in the 50s. He was talking about a specific movie that he was acting as a part of. And he got into that, and as the director was unfolding the script or what was to happen in the movie, the filming of it, he said, now when you get to this certain part, you're going to kiss your actress, fellow actress over here, and we're going to have a little love scene, and you're going to kiss. And he stopped and said, I can't do that. I haven't talked to my wife about this. I got to go home and talk to my wife about it. There was something initially that said, this isn't normal. This isn't right. This doesn't feel right. Went home and talked to his wife about it, and she said, well, I guess if you're going to be in this industry, in this business, it's going to happen, and so forth, and made an allowance for it. And it got to a point where he was saying today of his kind of recounting of it, of how normal it was and how ridiculous, how silly that was back there, that he wasn't willing to participate in that kind of thing. Oh, how norms can be changed. Convictions, an expectation of what's normal. And there's a danger for us. Folks, we are in this world, but we're not called to be part of the world. But there's a danger for us in being in the world, that I can become numbed and desensitized to what's happening around me. Because many times when the enemy, through an agenda that he has, says, I want to push this. I want to promote this. Don't think that it's people that are behind this. Don't think as we look around at the indecency and the corruption that's in our world today that it's just driven by man. There is a prince of darkness who is behind this that has an agenda that he's trying to push and to promote. Lord, help us that we not become desensitized, because the way he oftentimes pushes it is first he'll take something that's in the shadows, that's in the background, that is taboo, that you don't even talk about, and he'll start bringing it just a little closer into the foreground. Just not, still not the main character. I'll give you a case in point. Movie that was released, I don't know when it was supposed to be a children's movie, and there was some publicity about it because they said in here this would be the first instance of a homosexual scene that's part of this children's movie that's being shown. Folks, don't think that the enemy doesn't have an agenda to try to take something in what seems like an innocent setting and try to create an idea that it's normal. Not that I have to get into a place that I say, I accept that, I'm for it 100%. But the enemy starts with, we talked about the word tolerance. which isn't truly tolerance at all whenever you begin to peel it back. The idea of tolerance is first just accept that it's normal. First, just let me know that you don't think I'm abnormal or you don't think my ways are wrong of the way that I'm living my life here. There's a little poem or saying that says, "Vice is a monster of so frightful mien as to be hated needs but be seen. But seen too oft familiar with her face, we first endure and then pity and then embrace." Lord, help us that we not allow ourselves to become desensitized, to become accustomed to the norms of this world. That the world says this is what's normal. This is what is, and it's like a diet that's being fed in many different ways, through many different medium, that's being fed from children that are young all the way up. This is normal. This is normal. See, they're a nice person. See, now how can you judge yourself? They love each other. Now look, that's not really so. Just accept as normal. Just begin to understand that it's really not as the scripture talks about, that it might appear exceeding sinful. Lord, help us that we not begin to get conditioned, desensitized. I've never tried this, nor would I recommend it, but I've heard. You can take a frog and put it in a pot of water and slowly turn the temperature up and the frog won't know to jump out. Because it slowly acclimates to the new temperature until it's too hot and it burns. You know, the enemy wants us to acclimate. The enemy wants us by degrees, slowly, little by little, to begin to acclimate where something, I can remember things that began to be pushed in society. I'll just tell you of abortion, of homosexual marriage, that I heard those things and it has a shock factor whenever it's first pushed and whenever it first, and sometimes it's pushed and then retracted a little bit and then pushed again and then retracted a little bit. But there's something that the enemy's trying to do. I want to normalize it. I want it to seem like, to take the shock factor away from it, to seem like maybe you become accustomed to it. Oh Lord, help us not to become accustomed to, not to subscribe to the norms of this world, but unto the norms of the kingdom of God. So the scripture says, "Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds." Lord, help us that we'd be transformed as citizens of another nation, another country. Read of the law that the Lord gave to the children of Israel. The law that He presented to them, this is the way that you are to live. Some things maybe didn't make sense to them. Lord, why do you call this clean and you call that unclean? You know, the Lord wanted to impart to them that He was a holy God. Wanted to impart to them that He exacted and required obedience from them. And the Lord still today has laws and precepts that govern His kingdom because He is Isaiah 33 and 22. Maybe we'll close here. Isaiah, the 33rd chapter, spent a little time here this morning. I'd like to look now at the 22nd verse. It says, "For the Lord is our law, is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us." I'm thankful today that the Lord is our lawgiver. It's a norm that doesn't change. Expectations that aren't fickle and changing with the times. The same God that set in motion the laws of the universe and of physics that throughout time have not changed is the same God that says, "I have an expectation of how you conduct yourself and you behave yourself." The Lord is our lawgiver. And it's not that for us to seek the approval or the commendation of the world. Our success is not measured by the world's applause. Our success is not measured by their idea of success, but it is from our lawgiver. Lord, I want to know what's normal to you. Because what I even grow up under and what I'm accustomed to can be my normal. It can be what I'm used to. I related before a story of a young boy in World War II in the ghettos, I believe, of Warsaw at the time. They were trying to escape the persecution that they were under, and so they escaped by means of the sewer drains that were big, that ran under the city, large enough for a man to get down, and they lived for the period of many months down in the sewer, out of the daylight. And there was a story about a particular young boy that had spent so many months in the sewer. He had actually played with the rats and had gotten accustomed to that and considered them as pets. And whenever the day of liberation came and they opened up the grate and called for him to come out, he didn't want to. He was scared. He was frightened. This is my home. This is normal. You know, there are so many in our world today, I fear, that are exchanging life in the kingdom of light for life down in the sewer, underground, in the dark, smelly sewer of the world. Folks, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. When the world would say, well, if that's the way, you just kind of keep it quiet. Just don't talk about it. You're just going to be a misfit from society. The Lord doesn't want us to go around and with our heads thrown up in the air saying, look how different I am than you. But the law of the Lord's house, holiness unto the Lord, will make a difference in our lives. Whenever the Lord, read about the law we were talking about that the Lord gave to the children of Israel, he said that he gave it to Moses, and Moses imparted that then. But the scripture said in prophecy that the day is coming, and now is, where you shall no more say unto every man, know the Lord. For they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. And I'm going to write my law in the tables of their heart. Oh, I'm so thankful that that is the seat of this law. We sang the song before the message, the bondage of love. That is the seat and the root of this law of the Lord that is motivated and compelled by love. As the scripture said that Paul wrote, the love of Christ constrains us. It's the guardrails for me. It's what is the normal. It's what I'm measuring my life by, not the world's ideas or the world's customs or the world's norms. Lord, I want to live for your blessing, for your approval on my life. Lord, I still want today in my life and in our assembly together for the glory of the Lord to be manifested, to be evident. But it's not going to happen if I'm being governed by the law of another nation, by the law of another king or another lawgiver. Oh, if we'll submit ourselves to the law of God, written upon the tables of our heart, with a love for God and a fervency of spirit, it won't matter what the world says. We'll realize it's not something to be ashamed of. Come on out of the sewer. Let me tell you what it is. I'm not ashamed of the fact that my wife stays at home and cares for our family. You know, that was a norm at one time in society. It's changed now. Does it mean I should change with it? Lord, help us to be governed by norms, by laws that are not that of the world. That I can be able to say, by the grace of God, let me show you what a marriage should be. By the grace and help of God, let me show you what real peace and joy. Let me tell you about, it may not be many, but let me tell you about a small group of people that love the Lord with all their heart and that love one another. Let me tell you about the laws of this house. Let me tell you about how in the laws of this house you're not governed by the law of the flesh. Let me tell you about how you're governed by the Spirit. Let me tell you how you're not governed by backbiting and gossip and hatred and variance and strife. But let me tell you about some people. Mine eyes have seen it. Let me tell you about a people who are governed by another law. They have love one for another. As Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. That you have love one for another. Because we're governed by another law. It's not me first equals happiness. But as I submit myself to the Lord and to one another, to be able to see the love of God flowing from brother and sister. Amen. World, let me show you. Let me tell you something. Let me show you of the law of another house, that we in this time, in this dispensation, in this generation that we're in today, would be willing to withstand the norms of our world and submit ourselves to the norms of this house, of this kingdom of God. You pray for me. Amen.